Doink.
That was Chris 200 checking in with Pizza Babe.
Pizza, you know, it's Chris 200.
Hi, Chris 200.
He's too busy listening to Chris 200.
It's really hot.
Hi, Chris 200.
Hello, Chris 200 here on byways and highways of Nebraska. We are, well, not we, just myself. I am on Highway 30, mile marker 413, just on the east side of North Bend, Nebraska. If you happen to watch CSI on CBS on Thursday nights. There's a fine looking gal named Marge Hellenberger, I believe. I'll be going through her hometown here in a little bit. Yeah. There is some talent out here in Nebraska. I have no idea how they found her or why she ended up in Hollywood. I don't know that story. My guess, she had done some Lifetime movies or something like that, and was discovered or something like that, I don't know. But highways and byways of Nebraska. Yeah, Highway 30 today. It's Saturday afternoon. It's a little afternoon here, 10 after. And I'm headed to Columbus, Nebraska, which is nowhere near Columbus, Ohio. We're about 30 or 40 miles away yet from Columbus. I don't know what the temperature is today. I didn't check. I really don't care. It is more than likely below freezing. Probably in the teens, maybe the 20s. I think it's probably in the teens. To tell you the truth, I haven't even stepped outside yet. I'm going to turn this down just a hair. I haven't even stepped outside yet, so I don't know. 1,213 people here at the great North Bend, Nebraska Rawhide Steakhouse and Lounge. I think they're still open for business. The place has been there for years. What the heck? Call me crazy, but I didn't realize that they had a Casey's general store here. I believe this was a different store at one time here. And Casey's probably bought them out. Yeah, that's what's happened there. Arlie's Bar. I believe on Sundays they have a hell of a polka thing going on there. So if you're ever in town, check that out. I think Sunday afternoons or Saturday afternoons. Highway Treasures and Collectibles and Antiques. That used to be a little ice cream sandwich shop there. Not so much anymore. And that's pretty much North Bend. There's some green stuff over here on the left side. And what else? There's something coming up here on the right. Everybody's selling firewood. I think that's becoming more popular these days with the price of oil and gas and other ways of heating your homes. There's a big building over here, and I don't remember what it is. I think there's the North Bend Area Golf Course. It is 18 holes, believe it or not. Columbus, 31 miles. 31 miles to Columbus, so still have a little time here before we get there. And I don't know what that building is on this set. Okay, now we're going back up to highway speeds. Yeah, the weather out here is a little bit tricky. The wind is blowing pretty hard, and let's see. Yeah, it snowed quite a bit last week, and that snow is blowing around, and really causing a mess out here. I had to slow down quite a bit there before I turned on the recorder, because there was a snow plow out in front of me, and well, just basically had to slow down because of that snow plow. So, and he turned off at North Bend there to go down, I think it's Highway 15, maybe. I think it's Highway 15. And yeah, out here in the Platte Valley, you know, I don't stray too far off of the Platte River, if you've noticed here. Platte River's just to my left-hand side here. Oh, with this wind, if I spit it, it may land in the river. It'd have to get through the trees and that, but I'm not far off the river here. This road follows, pretty much follows the Platte River, geez, from Fremont, which was the major town before Fremont, basically from Fremont on, and then I kind of going backwards in my trip there between Fremont and Omaha. I, you know, basically caught up with the river again there. Off to my left, river's, oh, I don't know, 10 or 12 miles south of me. Maybe it's not even that far where I live, so I don't know if I necessarily live in the Platte Valley there, but, and we got another snow plow out in front of us here. Also, one of the major railroad highways follows this Highway 30 corridor, Platte River, Platte River Valley corridor. So, also off to my left, just right off the road, there's you know, main UP lines that go out to Wyoming and that. Pick up your coal and whatever, and I suppose they head out towards San Francisco and LA and those, probably Seattle and those types of ports with container cars and things like that. So, I am on probably, well, let's see, it was 31 miles. I don't know what it is from North Bend to Fremont. I don't think it's maybe 20 miles. It's not that far. It's probably maybe 12 miles. 12 and well, I don't know what it is to Schuyler. There's probably about a 30-mile stretch here, which isn't four lanes, basically two lanes. And that kind of slows things down, especially if you have some traffic ahead of you that's going a little slower, like the snow plow is. I'm gonna actually kind of kick it up here, see if I can get around this guy. About the second vehicle that I've seen on the side of the road. I'm not sure what's get around this snow plow. Jeez, I don't know what happened here. Whoa, 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 whoa. People stopping here. Oh, looks like everything's under control. I'm trying to pull this car out. The car looks like it's... Yep. Not sure what that guy was doing, but he was going eastbound, and his car was turned around westbound. Looks like he just did a little spin out there. Oh, maybe it's warming up here. The roads are a little bit wet. I don't know. But yeah, the weather will slow you down out here. The weather. I wasn't talking about the weather. I was going to say the two lanes will slow you down out here as you try and make your way to Columbus. Now, between Columbus and Schuyler, they do have a pretty good... Well, it's actually on the east side of Schuyler, Nebraska. They have a... that's where the four lane starts again. And eventually, you know, that's going to be a four lane all the way from... basically Columbus to Omaha, whether it's, well, I guess you'd pick it up, pick up Omaha on what they call Dodge Street, which is kind of the north-south divide of Omaha. And, you know, basically, oh, my tongue is full of crap. Basically, if you, get on the interstate from where I live, I don't know, 3-4 miles away, I drove 50 minutes without having to make a stop. So, and then there's just one stoplight there, and then the next place I can think that there's a stop is Columbus. So, but you do have to go a little bit slower when you're out here, because, you know, two lanes of traffic, and there's farm equipment and things like that on this road that sometimes will slow you down. Coming up on an area here where I just about ran into some deer. Many years ago. I can't remember if my wife was with me that night or not. She may have. I don't remember. Just off to my left here is Rogers, Nebraska. I missed the sign. There's a Kralik and Sons garage there. That's why I know that that's there. And now we're not having so much wind out here. The sun seems to be coming out now. And actually getting a chance to pick it up here a little bit. So, yeah, I may do some sightseeing in Columbus if I get a chance. Just thinking about going out and checking out some of the points of interest. I don't believe I brought my camera with me, so we're not going to have any photos. But, I thought that would be kind of fun to do some sightseeing and kind of, you know, read some of the historical points. From what I understand, there was an exploration party. Well, actually, I believe there was a couple explorations. I would have to read some of the history markers out here on what happened, but I believe the party that established the town of Columbus was originated out of Columbus, Ohio. Why in the hell they were out here in the the hinterlands, I have no idea, but they were, for whatever reason, checking it out, I guess, and they basically set up, some sort of a camp or town or whatever at the confluence of the Loup River and the Platte River. That's where Columbus is. Said I don't stray too far off the Platte River. And it's kind of in the middle of everywhere. It's in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of everywhere. It's about 2 hours in any direction, or an hour, or less, from just about everywhere you'd want to go in Nebraska, I guess. To the west, about an hour away is Grand Island. Another hour west of that is Kearney, Nebraska. Another larger growing city in Nebraska, Kearney, Nebraska. I spent a couple of years out there going to school. Grand Island is a big town, about 40,000, I believe. Just south of there, another, 20 miles or 30 miles is Hastings. I spent about 4 years out there working. Grand Island. To the north, there's North Fork, Nebraska, about an hour away. Also kind of the north and east is Sioux City. I think it's just a clip over 2 hours, but you could probably do it in 2 hours. All two-lane highway there. What else do we have? Kind of to the south and the east is Lincoln, and just a hair over an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes, maybe an hour and a half to get there. And then, of course, to the east, Fremont's about 50 minutes or an hour, and then another, it all depends on where you're going in Omaha, but where I live, it's roughly from that stoplight to my house is about 50 minutes. Within a couple hours, you can be just about anywhere where things are going on in Nebraska, I guess you could say. Just recently, kind of a business leader out of Nebraska has announced that he's going to run for Senate, and I don't know if that's for this election coming up. I'm not really sure on the Senate cycle. I think it may be. And one of the big things is he's switching from Republican to Democrat, I believe. Or Democrat. I think he's switching Democrat to Republican. I think that's the ticket. Now we're on the 4-lane here on the east side of Schuyler. And about a year ago, I actually got a sit down and talk with the guy a little bit, about his business and what's going on out there. And they kind of had a job, but they really didn't know what they wanted to do, and they were just kind of feeling their way out and talking to different people. So, I didn't expect to get any sort of job offers or anything out of it, but I have never been into that place, and I actually want to get in there and look around a little bit, see what they got going on, talk to the people, see what they're doing, and really grown the business a lot there, and it's kind of exciting, just kind of reading their story, it's kind of exciting to see what this one guy has done. Basically put his butt on the line and turned a business around that was not doing so well back in the early 80s, mid-80s. A couple $1 million up to over $200 million a year in sales now, so pretty good story there. They do mostly ag type of equipments not really ag equipment, more, you know, just stuff you need around the farm, whether it's gates or fences or pens or buildings or things like that. Tanks, like water tanks and stuff like that, and water your cattle or horses or, you know, even feed bunks and things like that. They also have a building business, which does any kind of building, whether it's a, you know, small utility shed for your ranch or garden or your home or anything to, your commercial type buildings, whether it be a large convenience store or I've seen car lots, car dealerships, things like that, you know, these big fancy car dealerships. They do those sorts of buildings too, which I didn't really know about until I visited with these guys. I pretty much thought that they did buildings. They've got a particular pattern, and one of the, if you know anything about sheet metal or siding or building materials, those sorts of things, everybody's kind of got their own little pattern, like on a steel building. I don't know why. It's just the way it is. It's the way, you know, you match things up and this and that. I'm kind of got a funny story about that. I actually had to go out and order some sheet metal for a building that I was working with. And I got the right pattern, right type, and had it brought out, and guys were putting it up, and I don't know, a couple hours later I went out to go check on them. Well, they put all the sheet metal on backwards, put it on inside out. But it wasn't this company's sheet metal. But what kind of their claim to fame in the beginning, before this guy came along, was kind of their self-supported wall. And what it is kind of a big S, or big, yeah, I'd call it an S shape. So you could basically set up the sheet metal and it would support the roof or, you know, the walls. You don't have to put up any sort of metal, what do I want to call them, studs or anything like that. They basically just set up themselves. And then what you can do is actually put a skin on top of that if you want. And either foam it or, you know, insulate between the curves or whatever, and you get a, I don't know, six inch, probably bigger than 6 inch, probably like a 12 inch void, you know, every, I don't know, 24 inches or whatever, with this S curve type thing. And it's really a heck of an idea, you know. But that's the type of building I thought that they did. And they still do, but that's not the majority of their buildings. They do more conventional or more, what do I want to say, modern-looking buildings. And if you're in Nebraska or... I think I'm going to have a problem here. If you're around, you can tell that, hey, that's a Balin building, just kind of by knowing that pattern. I mean, there's people who've built houses out of this material. Actually, one of the two Balin brothers that started the company actually built part of his house / mansion. I wouldn't call it a mansion, it's just a large house. Out of some of these materials, and you can actually see it from the street, and that it's not disguised or anything. And actually, you know, with the architecture of the house, it goes in quite well. If you check out the Chris 200 blog, go to chris200.com/chris200. Just go to Chris 200 and click on the blog link. You may have to search around. It's been, gosh, it might be 05, 04. I'd say in the summer or late fall that we actually took a tour of that house. And I do believe I have some pictures of it up there. The wife of this Balin guy, Walt, that's his name, finally decided the house was just a little too big for her to manage, and it's pretty much too big for anybody to manage, if you ask me. But you can check out some of the photos and things that I have there. Kind of a neat little house. I shouldn't say little, but it's little compared to what other people have these days. It actually had a swimming pool in the middle of the house, which is kind of unique. And it's quite the thing. So now we're about midway between Columbus and Schuyler. We're going to go past the Richland Curve here. And I think I'm going to go ahead and shut this off. And we'll see what else I come up with the rest of the day. I got four more tracks there. I got 24 minutes in, 25 minutes in. We'll see what else I come up with if I get some more maybe we'll get some of those historical things done and take a look at that. If not, hey, have a good day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.